Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thank you for listening to this podcast of Real Recovery. There are many more podcasts available at myfaithradio.com. Your support makes this possible. Thank you. And a warm welcome to Afternoons with Me. I'm Bill Arnold. I am so glad that I've got our two already in studio, the amazing and beautiful Queens of the Roundtable. And I just want to say thanks to Vince Miller for making Guy Talk work in hour one. And now we've got the ladies. And let us know what your questions are, because we're going to tackle all kinds of issues today with the ladies. I'm very excited to bring them on. I've got Terry Norby here in studio, and she's the Director of Annual Giving and Donor Services here at the University of Northwestern. She's also co-chair of the Women's Set Apart Conference coming up. She's a mother of five. Angel Smith is also here in the house. She's the host of the Retreat House podcast, so she knows what she's doing, which makes me very nervous. All right? And, of course, the always great, never less than sensational Rosie Brosnan. How are you, Rosie?
I am so good. I love these two women. So I'm excited about what questions are going to come from you today.
Yes. Do you trust me today?
I don't trust you ever, but I trust
That's
you.
That's such a compliment.
As a sister in Christ, but I'm pretty sure you could send us over the moon with a question
I
or
probably,
two at the same time.
You know, you say that I can go rogue. You know, we have some questions that we talking about, and then I go rogue, so that's what makes you nervous.
Yes, because because the audience doesn't know that, but he'll look at us and he'll throw us a question, and we'll, with our mouths quiet, go, you didn't tell us you were going to ask that.
Yes, but I grew up with four sisters, so I'm used to sitting around talking to ladies. This is fun for me.
It is fun for us,
yeah.
Too.
It is. So let me take 60 seconds, and then we'll get things started. If you have a question for the amazing and beautiful Queens of the Roundtable, let us know what it is. The number to text is 877-933-2484. Again, 877-933-2484.
Before you launch into another busy day, get grounded in God's Word with the Faith Radio Verse of the Day. You can have a Bible verse sent to your phone or to your email address. For the email, visit myfaithradio.com and click on Verse of the Day under the Subscriptions tab. To receive it as a daily text message, text the word VERSE to 555-888. That's VERSE to 555-888. Get daily hope and encouragement with the Faith Radio Verse of the Day.
Finding encouragement.
I'm just grateful to be able to be free to listen to Christian radio. And we're free to do that. I like a lot of the talk radio.
Encouraging, uplifting, hopeful.
I just have been listening forever, it seems like.
Oh, I just appreciate the uplifting, you know, reminder of who I am and what I'm here for every day. Yeah.
Connecting your faith to your everyday life on Faith Radio.
Welcome back to the show. I'm awfully glad to be joined in studio with the amazing and beautiful Queens of the Roundtable, Terry Norby, Angela Smith, and Rosie Brosnan. And I want to say, first of all, let's make a reference to our dear, dear Rebecca Maxwell, who is normally a part of the Roundtable, but she gave birth on Saturday to her baby boy, Gabriel, who was born 1 pound, 11 ounces. She's got her hands full.
She does.
As mothers, what's your response?
Oh, my goodness. As mothers, I know my heart broke. Mm-hmm. And as not only as mothers, but as sisters in Christ.
Right.
Oh, she texted right away on my phone on Saturday night, and I'm like, we've got you covered in prayer.
Yeah.
But it's, I actually thought of Queens of the Roundtable because in previous episodes we had talked about leaning on the strength of God in times of difficulty. And it occurred to me that from those previous episodes that this is real. This is the, you know, life is hanging in the balance and she's bearing it with the Lord. And, you know, our Christian faith says we receive our strength from God, and she's in that position of His grace is sufficient for her right now. And it is both a warriorship position as well as a resting position. And so, I know that she would rather be here with us than where she's at, but I know that she would never you know, trade this because she's so close to the Lord right now.
Yeah.
She did say, I can feel the love, truly. She said, I kept repeating Psalms in my head. What time I am afraid, I will put my trust in thee. She says, it's all King James in her head.
Yeah. Well, you know that's how she talks to you.
Yeah. I know.
It is.
She uses big words all the time.
Oh, my goodness.
I hardly ever understand.
I have to look them up after she leaves my office. I'm like, okay, what did that word
mean?
What did she mean by that?
Yeah. All right. So, Angela, tell me a little bit about the Retreat House podcast, just so I can get to know you a little bit and let our listeners know you.
Yeah, the Retreat House podcast came out of me trying to open an actual physical retreat house, but I was unable to find something that held the right aesthetic and had the right zoning, which that's no fun. That's not the fun part. And so I really, really wanted to bring people to the table. I just feel like if we could get around the table like this and talk with each other and learn about another human being,
yes,
then wouldn't the world be better?
Way better.
Way better.
Yeah.
And so I got frustrated that I couldn't do it physically, and I thought, well, maybe I'll try a podcast. But I was like, nobody knows who I am. Sometimes people think I'm the Angie Smith that lives down in Nashville that's an author, but I'm not her.
Well, right off her coattails, though. Might as well.
And so I thought, well, you know, I'm just going to put one foot in front of the other and move forward with it. And I absolutely, which you can probably relate to, I absolutely love it.
Yeah,
getting to sit across the table from someone and have a conversation with microphones. There just happens to be microphones there.
Now you said in the green room, it helps us to feel more normal.
Yeah, when we hear someone else's story, I think we can relate more or hear some of our story and their story sometimes and feel a little bit more normal about the way that we grieve or the way that we mother, the way that we parent, the way that we walk through life or with our coworkers. I think it's kind of levels the playing field.
Yeah. You generally ask two questions. Would you like to ask one of the other queens one of your two questions? I'll put you in charge of the show right now.
Oh, ask Terry. Ask Terry.
Totally asking Terry.
Oh, you.
I've already lost control.
Yes, exactly.
Terry, if you were to use the hashtag celebrate weird to describe something about yourself, what would that be?
What is weird? Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is yesterday. So this week at our church was VBS, and so I said I would help with VBS. And yesterday we were going to put together a meal for everybody afterwards to celebrate that VBS was wonderful and all the kids were there. So I was in the kitchen chopping vegetables, and I thought, this is the best time of my whole week. I'm all by myself. I get to cut the vegetables. So maybe being by myself and slicing and organizing and putting things, it's so different than ministry. It's so different than parenting, is you can accomplish something. You can see a pile. You can chop it up. You can get it done. And you just feel accomplished, whereas ministry just goes on and on. So anything like that where you can, like, mow the grass and you look at it and it's beautiful. So maybe that is weird because that sounds fun to me.
I think all the introverts are going, no, it's not.
I know, exactly.
And the extrovert in me is going, yeah, that's weird.
Exactly. It's very
I was just happy that she didn't ask me because, that would not have been my answer.
Too long of a list?
Well... No. People would be like, oh, no, she really is weird. And it might be the end of my Queens of the Roundtable.
No, people would would relate to it. That's why I ask the question.
Right, exactly.
I think we all have what I like to call freak flags.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we just need to fly them a little bit more.
I like that, a freak flag.
Freak flag.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's interesting.
I like it.
Yeah.
I'm going to use it.
Rosie, what do you think your freak flag is?
Ooh, now you do
have
to answer.
Okay. So I like to experience life and really experience it, taste it, see it, involve myself in it. And one of my neighbors listens to the show. His name is Chris Morrison. You're getting a shout out right now, Chris, if you're listening. And he lives across the street or just a little bit down. And he caught me in a freak flag moment last summer. My son was outside. It was late. And I was laying on the driveway. My house, looking at all the stars, and my son's, just bouncing the ball. And he goes, Rosie, are you laying on your driveway? I go, I am. He's like, why? I go, because I can see the stars from here. My driveway's warm, and the whole thing feels really great. And he goes, all right, I'm going back home. That was it. That would be one example of many freak flag moments I have.
To stop and enjoy the...
Yeah.
Stars. The
Why not?
Of the
Does it motivate you though when you bring order out of chaos? I mean, chopping, dicing, even something you're collecting, you're gathering, you're getting something done. Mm-hmm. Does that motivate you, a little task like that?
Does it motivate me? I think the reason I think it's weird is because it's not
it's not what I do every day.
Right.
You know, I think that that isn't what people usually think of as relaxing or fun, or but it was really soothing to me and really calming to me. So I do like it. It's not how I usually think. I don't want a big thing and have to make order out of it. But
yeah, because if I want to have a really productive day, I'll get up and do laundry.
Yeah, laundry is another
one. Then I've got something completed, and I go, I'll take on the world right
laundry
now.
Laundry is so soothing,
yeah. Yeah, give it to me.
Yep, and you don't have to think. I think that's the thing. I didn't have to figure out something. I didn't have to answer anybody's questions. I didn't have to be in charge, and as a mom, you just are in charge a lot.
Yeah.
So, well, and sorry.
No, go ahead.
And usually with that, there's someone's going to say thank you, which as a mother, that doesn't always happen.
Exactly.
Where someone says, thank you for chopping those carrots. Yeah. That was so helpful.
That's true.
They do say it, though, but they say it when then my next response is, and what do you need? Because you're,
why are you thanking
me for this, and why?
What have you
and
done
then I get a hug, and then I'm like, okay, and what do you need?
So when you're doing these tasks, though, does your mind race? Do you try to put stuff in place? Do you pray? What do you do? Mm. I'm real curious.
Go ahead.
I think when I'm doing something with my hands that doesn't take a lot of thought, like folding laundry, that's when my mind can wander, and that's when I wonder about God, or I start my thoughts go a little bit deeper than they would of just what my task is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I start to drift into things of, you know, I've been reading in the Old Testament about God seeing people and the word Ra'ah, and then I think about all the other places that I found it, and I wonder this, I wonder that. So I think that's what I like about those seemingly monotonous kinds of tasks, that your mind can go to those deeper places.
Mm-hmm. And I think, have you taken Strength Finders? Because I know I'm a strategic achiever with positivity, which means my whole family hates me because I'm like, let's wake up at 8 a.m., clean the garage, we'll have so much fun, and we'll have a plan. So for me, it's the exact opposite. When I am in achievement mode, it's all about the achievement. My mind isn't wandering. I'm thinking about how to improve it, how to take it to the next step. So I have to be conscious and committed to going for a walk and letting everything fall away so I can process, talk to the Lord, hear what the Holy Spirit might have for me versus what I would have for me in my day. So it's different. I think that probably comes from personality style, too.
Exactly.
Which is why I lay on the floor of my...
I love that. We're going to take a little break. Queens of the Roundtable is in progress. Let us know what a question might be for us to chew on or process. 877-933-2484. Again, 877-933-2484. Be right back. Thanks for tuning in today. I've got Queens of the Roundtable happening as we speak. And if you've got a question or an issue you'd like us to grapple with, let us know. 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. All right, let's talk about Proverbs 31. That's that great famous chapter in Proverbs. So if Mama is happy, the whole house is happy. Really?
I hate that saying.
Do you?
Okay.
I do. Yeah, I do
I think that just puts a lot of pressure on the woman, and it feels unfair to me. I also have a husband and two boys, so I'm only I'm the only female in my household, and I feel I just don't like it.
Well, we share that because I'm the only female in my household, and it doesn't give us permission. When I hear that, it doesn't give us permission to have a bad day, and that you are independent of me, both my husband and my kids, to have your own good day, even if I am down. So when I hear that, I just know that we're to be a part of a group, but we're not supposed to be so connected that my ups and downs have to have that much of an effect on the other people in my house. Otherwise, it doesn't allow us to have our true moods.
And we want to teach our kids how to do that as well. So I have five kids, and they're all teenagers or young adults, and I don't want to ride the roller coaster of their emotions through teenage years. So I've tried to learn that. I want to teach them that as well, that they contribute to the atmosphere of our home, to the joy of our home, to how everybody is doing. Everybody contributes, not just one person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That is a lot of responsibility. I agree.
It is. And I think it's like they have to handle us with kid gloves.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to have a kind of relationship with my husband and my children where they can tell me the hard things.
Yeah,
they can tell me if they're having a hard day. They can tell me if they're having trouble with me.
Right.
And something
have
that,
those honest conversations.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think the Proverbs 31 woman, as much as I like to joke that it's like the Martha Stewart of Christians, you know, where it makes us feel bad because we're not, it feeds like we're not doing enough. When I read it with a sincere heart and transparency before the Lord, he's always told me that type of performance comes out of you because you are in a position with me that
right.
I am doing that with you.
Yeah.
You are grateful. You are full of hope. And if you try to become that type of woman as a performance, even though the very last night of Proverbs says the works of her hands or something like
yeah.
that, if you're doing it out of performance to be something, then he wouldn't have that for us. So the work of our hands has to come out of a genuineness of gratitude and joy because we're his child.
Right. Exactly. The word of the Lord is not this to-do list for us. It's this love letter that he explains to us. And so when we take it out of context, it's like we have to do and be all these things. But with him, he makes us those things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I totally agree with
what
you're saying.
She also, I'm sure, had maids. I mean, how could she realistically
in,
do all
in our
that?
Book that we're doing right. with the author that's who's going to speak at Set Apart this year with Crystal Evans Hurst, she wrote Kingdom Women, and she talks about the Proverbs 31 woman, and she talks about how God partner, how we partner with God, and that's how those things happen, just exactly what Rosie was saying.
Mm-hmm. So what brings you joy? I mean, is joy something that you feel all the time, weekly, monthly? Hopefully next year I'll have some joy.
I feel like joy, happiness, and contentment are all interwoven and interlinked with each other. And I think sometimes we can confuse what they are. Like I think happiness would be the feeling of feeling joy, and content is not feeling like, well, I guess there's nothing I can do about it. So that's not contentment either. And I feel like joy is something that is deep within us. So our theme for Set Apart last year was deeply rooted. And so I was thinking about that mm-hmm. coming on today. And I think we have joy when no matter what is swirling around us, our roots are down deep in the Lord. And there's joy in that he's holding us
mm-hmm.
and he's never leaving us and never forsaking us and is always carrying us through whatever it is. That's where the joy mm-hmm. is.
And I think when you've gone through struggle, much like Rebecca is going through right now, there is no happiness in having your child in the state that her son is in right now, or the burden on her family or on her own heart. But she is joy-filled, mm-hmm. knowing that the Lord is with her and walking with her, and that she's surrounded by a cloud of witnesses praying with her. And that's a joy because there's hope in it. So mm-hmm. our hope comes from the Lord, which is therefore joyful to us in times of difficulty. And that's very different from the emotion of happiness
mm-hmm.
or glee or whatever, you know.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Both of my boys were born at 34 weeks and 3 days, so they're almost 6 weeks early, and both spent time in the NICU. And it was so evident that, probably because we survived it, that people were praying for us.
Mm-hmm.
And how quickly that going to the NICU and the new normal of what you have to do to make sure that this child of yours is thriving and trusting the doctors and trusting that he's in the Lord's hands, and just that that you are able to put one foot in front of the other is because of the prayers of the people praying for you and walking alongside with you.
Those experiences just grow our maturity and our faith when our circumstances are different than our theology, and mm-hmm. we have to look at those two things together. We grow
mm-hmm.
deeper, and we see exactly what you said, that
well, and sometimes the tensions too.
Yeah, exactly. Is he a good God? Do I believe that? Yeah.
How do you process disappointment and sadness?
Not well. if I'm honest.
No, I appreciate the honesty, Angela.
I was thinking like, what is disappointment and sadness? Yeah. I'm obviously not in touch with my emotions.
Well, I have to think about that,
Rosie?
Yeah.
I really actually did. I went disappointment and sadness, and I was trying to think of a time that I could even say, okay, you know, disappointment, I think, was easier than actual sadness.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So is your disposition just pretty joyful all the time, which I love about you.
Oh, thank you. So the day that I gave my heart to the Lord
uh-huh.
was a transformation day. You know, everybody has their own story. Some people, it's, you know, a slow walk into a relationship with the Lord, and as he transforms them, for me, it was a 180.
Nice.
And once I gave my heart to the Lord, he deposited this into me, and I can't leave it. It doesn't leave me. And so I just think it's a gift of the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. which is just a effervescent joy.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily always happy, but a joy that just bubbles up that I can't take credit for because I know the day it came.
Mm-hmm.
And it hadn't been my whole life.
Yeah. Well, maybe empathy is the issue I want to talk about then, because how do you deal with that? I mean, because I want to think about Rebecca. I want to burst into tears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and I have.
And so you guys, you criers?
For sure.
Terry, crier?
For sure. And mm-hmm. heavy.
I mean, when, crier?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah,
when yeah, you, me too. You,
yeah, mm-hmm. It's hard. It's
well,
hard.
And there's a different type of tears. There's mm-hmm. the empathy tear that, you know, I call them silent night emotions.
Okay.
Where the tears just drop down and you're a burden bearer. Mm-hmm. And yeah. as soon as I received Rebecca's text, to me, I just immediately knew the Holy Spirit would use me as a burden bearer to mm-hmm. carry the burden with her.
Right.
And I did have, when you were just talking about NICU, and I was just thinking, my heart instantly got heavy mm-hmm. because as you're depending upon the doctors and your own children at home, and she still has a young one that's only 8 months, right?
Or, yeah. 11,
or 8 or 10 months. She's also walking the practical out with a broken heart. Mm-hmm. Because there is no burden greater than watching your child suffer, which is, you know, why I love the Lord so much, is he watched his son suffer.
Right.
For us, it would have been much easier for God himself to get on that cross than to watch Jesus take that on, mm-hmm. you know, as a parent.
And it helps us understand when you say that.
Yeah.
It, as a parent and you've walked through something with your child, you see God in a new way. You understand his sacrifice in a new way, for sure. The prayer or the tears, when you said that, I thought, I call tears liquid prayers. Like, you don't have the words, but your heart is so there with the person that that's how you pray for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's burden-bearing. It really
yeah,
is.
Yeah, beautiful. We have a hard break in a couple of minutes. A listener said, my wife struggles with anxiety and depression. Do you have any tips on how I can love her well through all of that?
Mm. I do. Actually, my son struggles with anxiety. Not so much depression, but mm-hmm. yeah. Do we want to go into that now, or do you have to have your break?
No, we got 60 seconds.
So the first thing he had to teach me was the suffering, what he hears inside his head. And at first, because we're a very independent America, you know, just get it done, take care of this, push through it. And what actually helped him is that when I stood beside him and understood and asked him how he would like to step outside of anxiety, what could I do to it? Support him versus telling him what he needed to do. And it has changed our whole family's life in conversation and in understanding. And as you said earlier, Bill, in empathy, because we are able now to say, is this how you're feeling? And not dismiss it. How would you like us to support you?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And as we stepped along in that position, he's like, can you do this with me? And it breaks.
Wow.
It helps.
That's beautiful, mm-hmm. Rosie.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We have the amazing and beautiful Queens of the Roundtable in studio. We're open to your questions or whatever issues you'd like us to tackle. 877-933-2484. Again, that number is 877-933-2484. No question is too difficult. Let us know what it is. We'll be back in a minute. To interrupt this music, who wants to talk first? Because I don't want to
do a little
this.
Dancing.
It's pretty nice, isn't it? Yeah. Welcome back to the amazing and beautiful Queens of the Roundtable. We've got Angela, Terry, and Rosie, and we're going to take on any question you have. I have a question from a listener. How do you remain joyful and focused on the Lord during times of deep struggle when your troubles seem so heavy?
That heaviness, it's really hard. It's really hard. I like Angie's first comment of just having grace for yourself, holding, you know, just resting in that. But I think the truth of the word is the truth of the word, no matter what our circumstances are. And so I have learned, as I've gone through many different kinds of things, that you just hold on to those words that he gives you. And if you open your Bible, almost any story that you read, the Lord will bring that truth that he has in that story, and it will be strength for you. And you believe his word over your own feelings or over your own circumstances. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember we had a two-year, when my youngest son was two, he had a seizure, and he had several seizures in it, when one of them was this big grand mal seizure, and we ended up bringing him into the emergency room, and he's just this little guy, and he was unconscious. And so if you walk into an emergency room with an unconscious two-year-old, a lot of people swarm you. And mm-hmm. we had this wonderful chaplain come stand by me, and then I thought, uh-oh, why is she coming near me? And I just felt the Lord say, he is in my hands. He is in my hands. And I just held on to that promise. I knew nothing about what was going to happen, but I just held on to that promise. He is in my hands. And that is, the righteous shall live by faith. So the faith is, he is in your hands, Lord. And after I talked to this chaplain, she knew a friend of our family's, and she said that I, Terry, was one of the calmest people she'd ever met in the emergency room. And I thought, really? Even out of that, the Lord just shined through that. I have him in my hands. I have him in my hands. So what's the word that the Lord wants to tell you in that moment? And then cling to that.
Well, and I also think you can't dismiss the importance of perseverance and obedience to mm-hmm. that. And that feelings, as you said, we can't necessarily always trust our feelings in those hours.
Right.
And holding on to the Word of God and actually understanding. And sometimes, Bill, I think that we are so full with loving that the Lord loves us that we forget that it's a two-way street. Mm-hmm. And to pull into yourself and say, what do I love about the Lord? What do I know about him? What do I trust that he has said to me through Scripture, that he will never leave me? And you start this campaign of defining who the Lord is in your circumstance. And if you speak it out loud, so often I think we're in spiritual warfare, especially in our most difficult times. And the enemy wants our ear, and the enemy wants our heart, and the enemy wants to bring in disaster and despair, and especially if the battle is long.
Discouragement
that mm-hmm. we have to trust the Lord is with us and our angels are fighting for us, and just start speaking out loud who God is. And I think sometimes, at least in my hours of need, when Gary was really sick and I was under a lot of attack, to believe what the doctor said, it was that I am standing on the Word of God, and I didn't feel it, Bill. I really didn't feel it. I was joyful that the Lord was with me, but there is a difference between joy-filled, as mm-hmm. you were saying, and happy. And I wasn't happy that my mm-hmm. husband was suffering and that this battle was long. It wasn't 2 days. It was 5 years. And so, but my love of the Lord and that warriorship as a Christian woman started coming through, and that's God saying, do not give up your territory. This is who I am in this case.
Well, and I think for someone who is maybe newer to the faith, mm-hmm. that can feel overwhelming. I think that when you first start studying the Bible, mm-hmm. it can feel really, really overwhelming. But just picking a verse,
finding one verse that speaks
to you, and put it on Post-it notes, and put it on your mirror, and put it in your car, and in your kitchen, and everywhere that you go, and cling to that, cling to that verse.
Yeah.
There isn't a right or a wrong.
Right.
And even though it feels overwhelming, just find the one that speaks to you.
And to point for Scripture backing you up on that, the word never returns to the Lord void. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't say this verse because you said it right for your circumstances. It means the word never returns to him void, regardless of what verse it is.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Now, I love when Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are tired and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Mm. What does rest look like? Especially if you're a working mom and you're kind of doing it all, and rest doesn't seem to be around anywhere.
Well, rest is an active verb for me.
Okay.
So I have had to learn. That was one of my lessons with the Lord as he dealt with my personality type, which has a lot of energy, is that rest has to be active. It has to be a choice that I choose to bring all of my hardships, all of my worries, all of my things that I want to do, and bring them right into the throne room and lay it down. And sometimes I get to do that in my day. Sometimes I have to remind myself to say, ooh, I haven't had any 5 minutes to myself with the Lord yet today, and I'm choosing it right now in the middle of all the chaos to close my eyes and rest in him. Sometimes, as we're all on set apart, the set apart steering committee, you have to decide to give yourself that break and to take a retreat, and where you stop the world and just pour in. And that has to be a decision that you make for yourself because it's important and you're a child of God and he needs you to get quiet.
Well, I think, too, there's a difference between physical rest and rest for your soul.
Mm-hmm.
I had Nina Barnes from the university. I was talking to her, and she said she likes to go on retreat, and she needs to have enough time of her body stopping for her soul to catch up. Mm-hmm. And I thought, yeah, I identify with that. I mean, I think we can rest physically and think, oh, we're refreshed. Mm-hmm. But if we're not spending time in prayer and listening to what the Lord is saying to us and spending time in his word, then I think that physical rest can feel a little empty if we're not resting our soul and refreshing mm-hmm. our soul.
And that's a hard thing to learn. I feel like I'm just starting to learn. There's a pastor in Portland who does this wonderful teaching on Sabbath, and it's so interesting, but that's the plan that God created. It's the only commandment that we don't follow, and we think that it's just fine. Like if I came in here and said I murdered someone, that would be bad. But mm-hmm. if I said, oh, I don't observe Sabbath, no one really says anything much about that. So I've been learning a lot about Sabbath, but it is that soul care, and that was the intention of the Lord in how he created the world. So it's just been a beautiful, beautiful study for me.
What are some of the side effects if you don't get rest? What happens?
I think you depend on yourself for everything.
I do too.
I mm-hmm. think you think that you're the center of your world, and I think you think that everything has to happen because you do it. And nothing could be further from the truth for a child of the King.
Right, and I think I've become a really ugly version of myself, like the worst possible version of myself. So I just did Grandma's Marathon.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's great human achievement.
And the week leading up to it, my head was so filled with it that I couldn't think straight, and I had trouble doing anything and resting because everything was so scattered, and I was just the worst version of myself because I couldn't get control is what it was. Mm. And I had to keep stopping and resting and going, okay, Lord, you need to get me through this. You need to get me through this. I need you to get me through this. Please, please. Mm-hmm. And he did.
And he does. Mm-hmm. And I think often if we don't take rest and we start thinking that we're in control and we have the self-reliance, it quickly for women moves into a elevated sense of ourself, self-righteousness, really. Like, we've got all this done, and why aren't you guys doing this? And so we don't necessarily walk in the humility that it's the Lord himself who's empowering us to keep all these balls in the air. And we just tend to give ourselves too much credit. And I don't think it's conscious, but I know I have suffered it when, oh, I can do all that. Well, that's just the wrong attitude
right,
to have. And
exactly.
It's not a character trait that the Lord, I think, would have me have.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he's corrected me, it's been humbling. But I'm so glad that he has. But I think as women, especially accomplished women in our world today, I hear that often. Oh, I can do this and this and this. And I just like, oh, okay.
All right. When you guys have girls' night out, what do you actually talk about?
Oh, my goodness. Everything.
Do you?
What don't we talk about? Actually, we also have garlic in every single appetizer that we have. Just
yeah,
so you know.
As long as there's garlic
yeah,
in everything.
Garlic and everything,
yeah.
We're good.
I just had brunch, actually, with some girlfriends this morning.
What
and
did
we
you talk about?
We had seen each other for a while. First of all, we caught up on our lives, and it's just fun. We're in a stage of parenting where all of our children are about the same age, and so we're getting to a place now where we get to think a little bit about, oh, we've got time to pursue some of the things that the Lord is putting in front of us. So after the catching up, it was kind of dreaming about what's next for me? What should, what doors is the Lord opening up? And
mm-hmm. It's so funny because I think I'm just thinking back to my last girl time, and it's almost impossible to pick one thing we talked about because the conversations just grow from, it could start with our kids going through something to what shoes was he wearing, mm-hmm. and is that a good brand, and can you get them on sale to, did your husband go with you to pick out those shoes, and is your husband helping you enough? And it just kind of evolves, the conversation moves very quickly, and once you get all that stuff out on the table, then we can look at each other and, how are you doing in it all?
Yeah. What's important not to talk about at Girl Talk, Girls Night Out?
Goodness, I feel like
yeah, I don't know
limits.
That I would have anything that would be off limits.
Okay.
I think, well, I disagree, you guys. No, I disagree. I don't think it's good to talk about other people.
Oh,
and
gossiping
and stories like that. I mean, those are usually off the table. And with my girlfriends, if it gets that way, we kind of usually change topic pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
What about if someone's sharing a concern about their spouse? I mean, and it sounds like it starts to become a little bit of male bashing. Is that acceptable?
No,
it's not.
Mm-mm. I mean, I think it's one thing to feel frustrated with your spouse, because that's pretty natural, I feel like. But, for example, my husband is an engineer, and one of my good friend's husband is an engineer. So when I say I'm really struggling with this, she'll say, oh, I totally get that. And that's not male bashing, and we don't let it go there. And so she'll understand, and then she'll talk about, you know, well, these are some of the things that I've tried, and, you know, tell a story. So, again, we're back to the story. She tells a story of something that she's experienced, so then I don't feel so abnormal, mm-hmm. and then can help you maybe solve or figure out how to navigate through that problem, mm-hmm. but absolutely no to male bashing.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Have you tried and succeeded at changing something about your husband, or have you tried and failed trying to change something about your husband?
Always a fail.
Always a fail?
Always a fail.
Yeah.
All right. But you have tried.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely. I meddled that. I tried to get geared. So this is a funny story, and I can't remember if I shared it before on Queens of the Roundtable. But when I first was saved, KTIS was a huge part of that. And I would go to my car or go to Gary's car and switch his station to KTIS and did that for about 2 or 3 years and then realized that that was meddling because God was working on transforming my heart, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so 2019 is here, and he listens all by himself, and we share what it's done in his life. And as soon as I stopped meddling, the Lord started working. So... yeah, meddling never works.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a little break. We're talking to the beautiful and amazing Queens of the Roundtable, and we're open to whatever questions or issues you'd like us to talk about. 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. We'll take a short break, and we'll be right back. The show. I've got the beautiful and amazing Queens of the Roundtable in studio. I've got Angela, Terry, and Rosie. So let us know what the questions you might have for us to tackle. We'd be more than happy to tackle questions. To a woman who feels like she should be more, what would you say to her about grace?
Oh, have it for yourself. Have grace for yourself. I mean, I think of the way that God created us. And in the Azer Connecto, that he created us to be a suitable helper, and what that word Azer means, that in other places it's used, it's sometimes it's used to describe God, but it's this might mm-hmm. and it's this power and there's strength in it. And I was going to use an example from the Marvel Endgame, but I won't do that in case it's a spoiler. But there's a really great like illustration of Azer in there. But I would say you're enough. Have mm-hmm. grace for yourself, and you are enough. God created you, and he's gifted you, and run your lane. Don't worry. Like, so when I did the marathon, mm-hmm. there were people that were running a 6-hour. I finished in just under 7, but we were with the 6-hour people at the beginning. And when they started to go off into the distance, my running partner and I had to say, we need to run our own race. We're all on the same course, but we're running a different race than them. And we need to run our race. So don't look to your left or your right. Run your race.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had a lady who was in it. We were in an intergenerational Bible study for years, and we had an older lady that was in our group, and she was just so wise and lovely. And she told me that I needed to stop evaluating, to just live, and to just because when would be a good time for you to evaluate? What season of life would be the appropriate season to say you're successful or you're not successful, or you're there or you're not there? There isn't one way. It's a continuum that you're always growing and always learning, and so to not evaluate. And I think we live in such a world where we want to put measurements on everything, but that is not what Scripture is. And in Scripture, the Lord's purposes are not always the ones that we think they're going to be. And so mm-hmm. I agree, you have to have grace, but you have to just, you're looking at the wrong, you're using wrong measuring mm-hmm. rods. You and who you are and who you are in the Lord is the measuring rod.
Well, and I think, go ahead.
It's Mary Martha. You know, I know that at different times when I first was saved, I actually had to enter into the space with the Lord and figure out how much he did love me. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't I couldn't have it in my head. We all know that. But to believe it in your heart, I spent a lot of time in the Song of Solomon and really spent time understanding that as much as I love my husband, Gary, my Lord is my bridegroom. And if you mm-hmm. read Song of Solomon, knowing that that's how the Lord thinks of you and there is nothing you have to do, it changes your whole perspective of yourself. And then your more comes out of gratitude and he's fueling it. And so the more can look very different. The more can be, I'm choosing to smile today at everybody I see because I'm so loved by God, you know, and it's, but you have to believe it.
Right. Well, and to your point about Mary and Martha, Martha is a beautiful illustration of because she got it. Mm-hmm. Once Jesus said, Martha, Martha, the next time we see her after Lazarus has died, she runs out to Jesus. And Mary is crying because Lazarus is dead, but Martha is so full of faith that she runs to Jesus. And I feel like maybe because I'm a Martha, that Martha got it. Right.
Yeah.
And so there was a shift and a change of, no, I'm running to Jesus. Right. I'm running to Jesus.
You know, and the piece I was going to add to that when we were talking about what do you talk about with your girlfriends when you're out, I've just been challenged in my own personal life to ask different questions. Mm-hmm. So I would ask a girlfriend, what do you see God doing in your life? Give me a success story. Tell me what win looks like for you, because win looks different for you than it does for me. And so to just have those questions, to be intentional with those questions.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's an important question too. How do you define success?
Yeah, right.
And I had someone ask me that recently, and I said, obedience.
Yeah.
If I'm being obedient to what God is calling me to do, then I am successful. And I have to remind myself of that all the time. And I very often need him to help me even be obedient. But if we can be obedient to what he's asking us to do and focus on that being the success, I think it makes it easier for us to then run our own race in our own lane.
I think it's also important, too, to ask yourself, where are the roots that I feel like I need to be more? I mean, Matthew 15:13 talks about the Lord says, Jesus says, all plants not planted by my Father shall be uprooted. So where is the root that you're feeling like you're not enough and that more successes, whatever they may be, attributes greater gain for your identity? Mm-hmm. So sometimes I think in order to receive the good news, we have to find out what the block is and own it and give it to the cross and let him heal that so mm-hmm. that it's not a wound that the enemy plugs into all the time.
And that feeling could go back to grade school, couldn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
On where you didn't feel like you were enough, and now you're dealing with it as an adult. And
right. And the
I
Holy
think
Spirit
sometimes,
so
too, it's feeling too much. Sometimes I feel like I'm not enough, and I feel like I'm too much.
Mm.
Like my personality. Mm. As a woman, and especially as a Christian woman, that I think there's sometimes spoken, sometimes not spoken, expectation of what we're to be. And so when you have a big personality, sometimes I think it's easy to feel like you're too much
mm-hmm.
and not enough all at the same time.
I would say I don't fit. I mm-hmm. mean, that you just use different phrases mm-hmm. based on your personality. Yeah.
All right. Why do women volunteer like more than men? Or did I just make that up?
No, you didn't make it up. So before I came to KTIS, I worked in the school system, and women do a lot of the volunteering there. When we noticed a trend that as women went back to work, we were, you know, hungry for volunteers because as society has progressed, the two-income family is becoming more and more of a necessity. And so, no, women tend to volunteer much more than men. I don't think men don't want to volunteer, but I think that the woman's heart is they see the need. I mean, especially if it's tied to their kids. So they see a need in the school. They want to be present. They want to go on that field trip. They, you know, they want to help out at church because we're relationally based, but also if it's feeding our children or our spouse, we're there.
Yeah.
I like. So what's the one pampering pleasure you like best?
Well, after I went to the University of Northwestern, I went back to school after I got married to become an esthetician, so facials, makeup, waxing. So anything in a spa.
I am with you, girl. I was going to say, that was my first thing. I'm like, ooh, spa. Mm-hmm. Ooh, though I would love to get to a position where I got a cleaning lady. That would be so sweet.
A cleaning lady?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
that would
be nice,
I can never justify it. because I'm always like, oh, if I have some money to have somebody clean my house, then I could put a well in Africa and someone could have water.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of one of those things.
You could do that about anything.
I know. Yeah. Something about cleaning, though.
I got a cleaning lady once, and I had to spend a week cleaning my house just
exactly.
So I could say, sorry, it's such a mess.
Right?
And then she didn't return my calls after that. So.
Oh, my gosh. I think I would probably do that.
Yeah, but Terry, what about you? What do you like just for a little indulgence?
That is a really good question.
Nothing yeah. Bundt cake. Can I answer
yeah.
for you?
Yeah, Bundt cake?
Well, those are good. I do like them. I have learned that I do really like alone time. Sometimes people would say, well, watch your kids and you guys could go out. But it was kind of fun to have your own house and have everybody out of your house and just to be in your own house with your own remote control with no expectations. It's really comforting.
Yeah,
so,
nice.
I like that.
All right. Now, you're all moms. So what about any momisms that you find coming out of your mouth that you think to yourself, oh, no, my mom used to say that. Now I'm saying it.
Oh, my gosh. I totally have one that the boys are teasing me about night and day right now.
Okay,
because
what is
I picked it up from a Timberwolf. I forget his name, too. It is when you enter a room, you will either be the thermostat or the thermometer. So you choose.
Oh.
And I've said it so many times that they're like, oh, my gosh, it's the double T. Here she comes. But
I've
it's really kind
of
true. Well, I just heard it like a year. What was it? Gosh, it was in March. And I've been saying it a ton because it's so good.
Whether you're the thermostat
or the
thermometer.
Temperature. Right. No, the thermostat or the thermometer. Because the thermometer takes the temperature of the room, right?
Yes.
It's all you're doing is mixing.
You're
yes. just if there's someone swearing, you're swearing too. But a thermostat controls the room. So you come in, let's say the room's people are swearing, and you come in and be like, hey, you know what? Could you mind not swearing in front of me right now? So that was, I wish I could give credit to the Timberwolf who said it, but that was the exact example that he used.
Yeah. All right.
And it was so good.
I can't even, there's so many things I hear myself say that my mom said and things that I vowed I would never say.
Oh, really?
Do as I do as I say, not as I do. I'm the mom, that's why.
I'm the mom, that's why.
Yeah. If this is the worst thing that's ever happened to you, you'll be lucky.
I have done the I'm the mom. I like that one, that's for sure. I often will just reword things that they say. So they'll say, is this what we're having for dinner? And I'll say, what I hear you saying is, thank you for dinner. And then they have started rolling their eyes because I just choose to hear it differently.
I love that. I'm using that one.
I am too. That's good.
All right. We've got just a couple of minutes left, and so we're just close to the end here. So let's ask the question, what does it mean to finish the race strong? Let's finish the show strong by answering that question. What does that mean, to finish the race strong?
To keep putting one foot in front of the other. So when we were running the marathon, it was all about, no matter how we felt, it was about continued forward momentum and continuing to move forward. Now, for retreat and rest, those things are important, but to keep you moving forward, mm-hmm. to keep you moving toward what God is calling you to do.
Go ahead.
Well, I was thinking about heaven, and I think we're going to have jobs in heaven. I think we're going to have a role in heaven. So I really want to be faithful to what he's called us to learn on earth. That's what I've been thinking about.
I love
what
that.
Do I need to do? Yeah. How can I be strengthened here so that I'm prepared for what he has?
And for me, it's to keep my heart soft and open, always.
That is great wisdom. This has been awesome. Seriously.
It was really
so
fun.
I really like it.
No, I would love for you to come back.
We just need artichoke dip.
Done.
We need a little artichoke dip.
With garlic.
With garlic and chocolate.
Yes.
Chocolate.
Yes.
Ooh, a little chocolate. Dark chocolate, please.
I will supply that if you come back.
Okay.
All right. Thank you to Angela and Terry and Rosie for just really making the amazing and beautiful Queens of the Roundtable so delightful. That wraps up our show for the day. If you ever want to go and learn more about Faith Radio and maybe you want a new welcome packet, go to myfaithradio.com and we'll send you out some info on the station, especially if you're just getting to know us. We sure appreciate you listening and we appreciate your support and we just love you. So thank you so much. As you lay your head on the pillow tonight, know that God is working out his great, great plan in your life. Have a great night, everyone. God bless, and I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.